Good evening and welcome back. This is hour two of the best in paranormal talk radio. Darkness Radio is back on the air. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Tim Dennis and Mally Fox have the night off. Tonight, we're discussing Ouija boards, communicating with the other side or with our own consciousness. Are we really tapping into the spirits of those that have passed away or possibly reincarnated? Are we talking to spirits of people that are still alive? And are we communicating with their higher consciousness and their higher levels? Many people believe that we're doing nothing other than opening portals to dark realms and getting answers that appear to be loving light messages that later will try to consume us, our time, and possess us. One of the points we brought up in the last segment talking to Karen Dahlman was, do you believe that the Ouija board could just be a crutch, a tool used to make her feel more comfortable and the people that she's working with feel more comfortable, that there's something there that they can A, put the blame on, or B, show as something interactive instead of just taking it from the mind of a medium or a psychic. And one of the frightening things, Karen, that we've heard from many of the people involved in the field of demonology and exorcism is the fact that a lot of times people will begin getting messages of love and light, and they do so and eventually are convinced by the spirits or the other side that not only are they able to do this, but now I can just give you the messages directly, Karen. You no longer need the Ouija board. Just put it down and let us into your head and let us give you these answers. And that's the opening that evil needs to attach itself to you to try to control you, oppress you, possess you, and eventually break you down. Do you believe that you try to keep the Ouija board in play because of that fact and not giving it control over you, but rather just giving it control over the communication of the board so that you have that mental break that all you have to do is put it in a box and put it in the closet under Monopoly and you're back to being safe?
Absolutely. That's a very good point you bring up. Yeah. You're right. Spirits can come through. Entities can come through that really want to attach themselves to you and use you. That's a real phenomenon. I think they call it demonology and possession. And I know you've had some exorcist priests come on your show before that have spoken about this. It's true, that happens. This is why one reason why I don't recommend getting obsessed with the Ouija board, like doing it every day, maybe even doing it every week. I don't recommend doing it by yourself. A lot of things can happen when you're alone with the Ouija board. I've seen it. I've seen people get obsessed with it. It's not supposed to be a crutch. It's a tool only, and yeah, put it back in a box and put it away and walk away and live your life. It's not always accurate, just like a prediction you might make, or somebody else might make in your life, or even a psychic might tell you. It's just a way to reach into the energy. You know, nothing's 100% in accuracy, too, because things change based on the energies that are surrounded, based on our intentions and our thoughts and our beliefs. That can change anything that's going to happen, too. And because, again, we have free will to make those choices. And we have free will to keep the all those negative influences that would like to attach to you when you use the board.
So you believe that opening the board does allow you to be overtaken or not overtaken, but attachments, because that seems to be the tickle key phrase for everybody is they're afraid of attachments. They're afraid that this is going to happen. That's going to happen. How do you, if you do believe that that is a possibility, should people be messing with it at all? Or should it just be left in the hands of professionals, people that know what they're doing, know how to close themselves, change their vibration and actually make, that break from being open psychically, physically, spiritually to knowing how to close it down and leaving things behind?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's not a game. It's not something to mess with for fun. It's not a parlor game anymore because now we all see it as, originally it started as a parlor game. Well, I shouldn't say originally. There were times in the history of the Ouija when it was used for those purposes, but it's not anymore because there's a energy surrounding the whole concept of Ouija, and I think there's such negativity surrounding it that I believe that negativity just attracts itself to this Ouija as a tool we might use. I mean, this tool is no different than a lot of other divination tools. You mentioned tro cards, a pendulum, or other things people use. It's just the level of, I could say, subconscious or archetypal negativity we attach towards it actually puts a vibration in the energy of using the Ouija itself, in the field of using the Ouija itself. So therefore, you got to be even extra careful, because that whole subconscious belief out there that we all have floating around that it's a bad thing, or that it's been instilled upon a lot of people's minds and hearts. So no, I wouldn't use it if there's any fear about it. Intrepidation. I would use it only if you feel solid in yourself in terms of understanding how to raise your vibration, get in that space of clearness, of light, of making your intentions, and then welcoming the energy, and then also finding a way to shut it down. I do a whole incantation, if you will, to help close the energy as well. It's a very serious process.
Right. And I know Rosemary Ellen Galley has talked about that it's important to close, not just put the board away and that's it, that there's an actual almost ritualistic feel. But I think that's where a lot of people, gun-shy people, uneducated in the ways that this all works, start thinking, oh, you know, she's incantation, that's witchcraft. Well, we're talking about closing ceremonies and so on and so forth. This sounds very cult-like and very occult-like. And I think that's a huge turnoff for a lot of people.
Sure, that's a good point. Okay, so let's think, if you go to church and you walk in, and you might sing some songs of praise, and then you have the person up front, rabbi, priest, preacher, speak and give a sermon or something, and you might interact with it. Then you might do a closing song and then shake hands and say hi, everybody, or goodbye. Same thing here. No different than hosting a party at your house or going to church. You know, welcoming, you have a fun at the time at your event, and then you have a closing. That's how I see it. It's like welcoming somebody into your space, and then you go, all right, good night, time for you to go, nice, thank you for coming, and you shut the door, lock it, and then they'll get to come back in until you re-invite them. So forget the words of incantation, because I know there's also, you know, negative connotations with that as well, and I don't want to seem like witchcraft, although witchcraft is not a negative thing. I don't want to be seen any cult light. I want it just to be seen as a tool that you can remove from any kind of judgment like that and use it. But to use it, again, there's definitely parameters that you must follow in order to not have the attachments or the negativity, the opening and the closing, and how you use it. There's a purpose.
And our guest, Karen Dahlman, is here joining us. If you have questions or if you've had experiences with the Ouija board, good, bad, or indifferent, you want to share those stories with us, 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. If you vehemently disagree with our guest and have a different take on it, we want to hear your version. Remember to keep it clean and keep it on the respectful side. We're always open to hear differing views and thoughts on all of the different topics that we cover on the show. We will not cancel you out or hang up on you because you're a skeptic. I'm open to all ideas. So we do want to hear from you. 651-989-5855. But be prepared when you call in and say, no, it's evil. I know it's evil. We will press you as I would any guest. I want to know why. Why do you believe that these things are evil? Why do you believe that the messages that are coming through are junk, when there are people like Karen who receive nothing but messages of light and love and it help people and help humanity, and it's not just something that's a negative and or trying to, you know, get people induced into creating or doing stupid things and hurting other people. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. We're going to take a quick call here right now. This is Rick calling us. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, you guys, I'm kind of brain dead. I was just going off to bed, and I was getting ready to turn the radio off, and I heard the young lady say, don't do it every day. For sure, don't do it alone.
Right.
But it's fine. Would you ever say something like that if this was from God, if it was a good thing? Just stay away from it.
Well, you make a good point. I mean, but the fact is that I think the difference here that we're talking, Rick, is the fact that, you know, when you're dealing with God, it's because people go into conversation with God in a place of intention and light. The reason she's showing a warning on this is because so many people, because of the movies and witch board 1, 2, 3, 7, and 8 and all of these movies that have centered around using the Ouija board have shown evil, that, you know, hey, if you don't know what you're doing and it's going to frighten you, it's probably anything that you do with a bad mindset is not a good idea to do alone, where you don't have somebody that can talk you down or help you, you know, realize what you're dealing with. I think that that's kind of the subtle difference. And I agree with you in the fact that, Rick, you know, if it's just something that's, you know, you're uncomfortable, you just shouldn't do it, whether it's with somebody or, you know, by yourself in that kind of zone. Do you believe, though, any good messages can come from this? Do you think that divination and communication from the angel world, Rick, is a possibility through a board like this?
No, I don't believe it's from the angel world. I think I've tried to use this analogy before. The rat poison is 99% good food. If I was the devil, I'd be doing exactly that. I'd send out 99 good messages of love and make it sound like it's from my long-lost dead relative, just so I could get people to delve into this, because God specifically said not to.
What's your take on something like that, Karen? How do you feel about somebody that's coming from that vehement side of the battlefield?
Well, I think it's definitely healthy to speak, from the other side of this and to have your opinions about it. And I would, I agree with you too. I think what here at this tool, you get what you believe about it, what you know about it, and what you think about it. And so that is what you would get out of it. If you don't believe, you won't get anything. And if there's any fear, then that's you'll track that level of vibration.
I don't believe this is a feeling thing. One of us is right and one of us is wrong. I'm willing to accept that I might be wrong, but if we sat down and argued this out until the end, one of us has to be right and one of us has to be wrong. It isn't a if you feel that way about it type thing. It's got to be one way or the other.
Well, but don't you think, though, Rick, that it depends in life and just about anything? If it depends on who you're trying to communicate with, whether it's on the phone, on the internet, or on a Ouija board, not knowing the conviction of the person on the other end is always dangerous. And many people are lured in. I mean, there's this famous, story that's been going around about the football player that was snookered by the person claiming to be a woman and dating him. I mean, people have dark intention. It has nothing to do with, demonic or devils. People are just sometimes idiots and reaching out for help and support from somebody you don't know can be dangerous in any fashion.
I think God told us to stay away from this kind of stuff. At least that's what I get out of it. And
okay.
I think this is exactly the reason why, because we'll go around and around about this. And
mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that that person you're talking to is a long lost relative or a demon trying to make you believe that.
Understandable. And that's something that I've brought up numerous times in the 7-8 years that we've been doing the show.
It's interesting every time you guys bring it up. So I get all riled up and now I won't be able to go to bed.
Well, keep listening in, Rick. I appreciate you chiming in, Rick. And, you do make a good point. He said, this almost comes down, and this will sound like I'm minimalizing abortion, and I don't mean it to be at all, but it sounds much like an abortion debate, because it is very similar to what you believe when you enter this debate is pretty much what you're going to believe when you leave this debate. And it seems to me with the Ouija board, people have either had that knowledge and notion that this is not right, and it's going to be very hard to flip them from one side of the coin to the other, especially with, let's face it, there's a lot of contempt and fear and negativity. Ouija board gets a lot of bad press and has since the 70s when it went viral with The Exorcist, which for no more than a minute and a half worth of footage with the Ouija board, suddenly this Ouija board went from something that was parlor games and fun and songs were written about it. Norman Rockwell did a painting about it and everything, to now this thing is a dark force and a dark doorway to evil and entities. And he's right in the sense that we don't know who we're communicating with on the other side of that board, Karen. No matter how much love and light and intention we put into it, the Bible does tell us in that when the devil makes his appearance, it's not going to be with flames and horns and cloven hoof. He's going to be a being of light and love. And I'm going to guess he's going to put out that energy to make people feel attracted to him and take the word from him. This I don't believe is just about God and the devil either. I believe that intention, no matter which direction you get it from, if you were a jackwad in life and your spirit is here communicating, you might be a jackwad on that side and doing or saying stupid things and misleading people, which has nothing to do with evil. It's just nasty personalities of the beings that you're working with.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. When somebody dies, they're not enlightened all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much at that level of evolution that they reached in this world. So, yeah, you still have people that are angry, abusive. I mean, we're human. That's human nature. I also don't believe in things being black and white ever. Everything in religion is based on faith. So it's spirituality, and so it's pretty much everything we do. I love the example you brought up about speaking to somebody maybe on Facebook or on the internet, as that football player did. You know, we just had the faith that was who that person said they were. I know we're going a little deeper with this when we talk about religion, because that's built upon many, many years of the Word of God and the faith in that. And then this is Ouija, you know, it's not built upon those many years. But the mystifying oracle, being able to speak to the oracle, has been going on for thousands of years. To be able to speak to some other consciousness or being outside of himself. You're right. It's all based on faith. It's all based on well, for me, it's based on a trust and a feeling I developed, because I've developed that center of myself that's a little more psychic and intuitive. But it's based on faith. It is. And so you've got to really not do it if it's something that's not right for you. And I would definitely say, you know, don't pick it up. Don't use it. It's not a tool for you.
Noisy Mime from our chat room says, what's the difference between a spirit attachment and your own spirit? Are we not merely spirits attached to mortal beings ultimately anyway? Can we, I guess, share? I guess from my understanding of a spirit attachment is another, it's like when you take the towel out of your dryer, it is its own entity, but so is the sock sticking to it. And there's that electric energy that bonds those two pieces together, and sometimes you don't even know it. You take that towel out, you fold it, you put it away, and then when you go to use it, suddenly the sock is there. You know, was it stalking you? Was its intention to get to you and frighten you or kill you? Or was it just there because the vibration was right between the towel and the sock, and it brought them together, and that energy connected and linked them until the energy was broken again by shaking the towel out or doing whatever it was done. So I think spirit attachment is again open to debate on how does it happen, why does it happen, and do we allow it to happen? Are we opening ourselves up for this? I'm of the mind, I don't know that I really believe that we can have things attached to us for any period of time other than, you know, being attracted to you. If it's something that's of an attraction, if you're not giving it time, and you're not giving it effort, why would it hang around? I don't, you know, people talk, aren't you afraid of getting attachments? No, because I don't sit there asking, is there somebody here with me? Am I alone? What do you need to know? What, I don't give it any attention. What good is that for a spirit then? If there's no communication and there's no way to converse back and forth, I would think that energy would disperse and go find somebody more open or intuitive that would find a better connection to maybe bring about that transference of energy or so on. I don't know. What's your take on the whole spirit and spirit attachment realm?
Well, I love your static electricity analogy with the sock and the cloth. So that's a very visual that we can all see. What I've learned about the spirit attachment when I've spoken with the guys on the other side, and some things I've also read as well, and experienced, I should say, too. That's a whole other story, though, is that we're like beings of light. Because we truly, in physics, we are. We have this vibrating matter that's all based up on these neutrons and protons and electrons, and goes really small, and they vibrate really fast. So we really are light beings. And these light beings, when we're weakened, meaning maybe we're tired, or maybe we have an ailment in part of our body, it's almost like there's openings. That's a weaker part in our body. It's not judging. It's just a weaker part where something out there has a darkness to it always wants to go to the light for whatever reason. Now, something that matters that has darkness to it, let's say it's a spirit, somebody that died and they're angry and they were abusive or whoever they were, they killed somebody, they're out there with the same kind of energy and they see an opening and they're like, oh, I'm going to go in there and there's light. And they go in there, and that might be the hole in your aura where they come into, like the sock on the towel, and next thing you know, there's something stuck there or hanging on there. But you're right, by opening and closing the portal, meaning using the Ouija board and having your beginning, middle, and end to it, you can help that not happen. Also by protecting yourself. Again, this comes with many years of practice of doing this. And I know psychics will say the same thing about your aura being affected by drugs and medication and all these different things that can affect it, because it will put holes in it, almost like Swiss cheese. Think of Swiss cheese with holes in it. That's your light, and they can come in through those Swiss cheese holes. It's like a moth also being attracted to a light. They go to the light. When you turn the light off, they kind of float around and can't find it. As soon as the light goes on, they're attracted to it again. So that's kind of what it's been explained to me on what happens with these spirits that might come through and attach.
All right. Understandable. Now, we've also got a question from Sam in the room. He says, you stated that you don't believe nothing will occur or you won't get anything. Why is it a belief? Why is that? I'm sorry. I can't read this. It's written crazy. You'll have to rewrite your question and send it back over to me. I can't get through that one. Sorry.
Well, one question I had was just different mindsets. You know, like when you have a dream and you, it's this crazy dream, you know, I mean, is that something you maybe the consciousness or whatever in the Ouija board as well can, you know, affect the outcome, or maybe have you come up with some strange answer that you never thought of, you know, before?
Oh, great question. Yes, absolutely. And I've used it for sometimes dreams before. People might come and say, or I've done it myself. I had this dream, and these people have come to me three nights in a row, and these images, and what is this about? And kind of knowing maybe what it might be about, but not sure. I've gotten some clarification on that. That's a way to use the board as well.
All right, we've got Dave calling in as well. And if you have questions or you have stories you want to chime in with, 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. Dave, where are you calling us from?
Golden Valley.
Golden Valley. What's your question or statement about the Ouija board?
Well, I have a Ouija board that's signed by my uncle, who passed away in an airplane crash back in 1978. And I've always been afraid to bring it out. It honestly gives me the creeps. And I just want to see, I want answers. Should I be afraid of it? Should I be afraid to use it? Should I be afraid to know?
Here's the deal. I would guess if you have something you're not sure and you want answers, you know, there are other ways to get answers and not use the board. If it's something that unnerves you and you're already worried about it, going into it with fear, I think is an only, you know.
Well, but I do believe he's at peace.
Sure.
I do believe it was an airplane crash.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a sudden death. It was, you know, so I believe he was at peace, but it just has always been unsettling. So I guess my question is it something bad to use? Or am I going to channel him or anything like that? Does that make any sense?
So you're afraid if you use it that by opening it up and knowing it was his board, you might in fact channel him and have him become an attachment or part of you?
Sure. I guess I'm not entirely afraid of that, but just is that a bad omen? Is that a bad thing to do? Is it?
What is your thought on that, Karen?
Well, you said this was your uncle. Is that right, Dave?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. You know, your uncle probably, I'm just going to take a guess, he probably was close in your family and cares about you. And if there's a loved one on the other side, they're not going to come back and try to scare you. Unless it's a game they play, and they did that, you know, when they were live with you. So I would say I wouldn't fear that. But I would ask you, what is it in your own mind that kind of scares you about the whole Ouija? And maybe you have an answer to that.
I guess just the preconception about it, everything that's, and I'm sorry, I came into this story late, but just the whole preconception about the Ouija board that it's evil, you know, or whatever.
Sure, I hear what you're saying. It's the beliefs about it that you've heard and the stories you've heard. You know, if you want to bring it out, okay, this is how I would start with it. I would just put it out and lay it out somewhere. And now, when I say that, if you're fearful or scared of it, no, there's no reason to. But if you're curious about it, and I believe, just from experience, you're not going to channel him. So many people have come to me and said, you know, I really don't want to hear from my dead father or my dead sister, or they won't come through because you don't want them to come through. They don't want to hurt you, and this is a family member. Now, if you told me you got this board from somewhere else, the person was related to you, I'd say, you know what, probably don't pull it out. You know, but this is different. This is like family. He must have liked this board because he signed it. I don't even sign my boards. I have quite a few of them. And I have one that's been with me for 40 years. So he liked this board. It was his board. And so I would say, you know, if you're curious about it, read about it, do some research about it, pull it out, let it sit somewhere, and just, you know, just kind of get used to it being out. But again, don't use it by yourself, and use it only if you're going to be with somebody who actually knows how to open the circle, work with it, and close it.
Okay, and then see, now, the interesting thing about the board is that I never met my uncle, but I feel a very close attachment to him.
Sure.
Nice.
Through just life and objects and everything like that.
Well, you know, Louis Soria from our chat room brings up a great point for you to consider, Dave. And I think that this can be said in a lot of ways. Again, what we think about is what we attract. I think, you know, if you're worried that it's going to bring your uncle to you by playing with the Ouija board, you know, just by thinking about him and having those thoughts and concerns and want to communicate, that's going to draw him to you either way if he feels that he wants to make that communication. I don't think that it's going to be the board that's going to make him stick. You know, that is not the conduit like a dryer that makes that sock stick to your towel. You know, it's just your intention and attraction and want to know and get more answers that will draw him to you. And then in that case, maybe your best bet is, you know, if you really want to get some answers, go through a psychic or a medium once. Get the answers that you were seeking, ask the questions that you had, and then once you've got that down, let it go. Don't continue to obsess about it or let it run you, but use it more as a communication tool to get the answers that you were looking for. And then, you know, once you've got that, there should be no more reason to continue that journey.
I agree. And I do insist, too, the board is not your uncle. The board is really something you can cut up and throw away, and you know what I mean? It's just
okay, I guess that was my main question is, by him signing the board, was he attached to it in any kind of way?
Oh, probably not. Do you know how many things I've had to sign in my life to make sure nobody walks away with it
exactly
at events?
My mortgage, your mortgage.
Right. Well, no, but I mean, you know, maybe he took it to parties with him, and maybe other people would bring theirs, and he just wanted to make sure it didn't get picked up and somebody else take his board home, so he just put his name on it. That would be my idea, and I know, you know, coming from, I've got 7 children of my own, they write their names on everything, so there's no battle about whose toy they're playing with. So that very well just could be more of what it was. He may have really enjoyed the board and liked it, and that's why he wrote his name, so he wouldn't lose it. But I don't think that he bonded himself to that board, unless you're saying it's done in blood and a pentagram is drawn on the back. I think you're pretty clear in the fact he was just acknowledging, hey, this is my board.
It was his property.
Yep. Exactly. Thanks for calling in, Dave. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got Liz and Matt with more questions. Karen, I'd like to hear about your communication with alien life when we come back as well, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, stay tuned. Karen Dahlman is our guest. Her book is called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. You can find it on Amazon.com. Last name Dahlman. Karen, first name Karen. Karen Dahlman, the book Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. More with her communication with the Ouija board and aliens right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to the show. Darkness Radio is on the air 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Join me as I explore the strange and unusual world of ghosts, monsters, myths, legends, and more right here on Darkness Radio. Our guest this evening, Karen Dahlman. She is the author of the book, The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. If you want to turn your life around, you need the ideas and input on a good way to do that. This is the book I would highly recommend. It's written by Karen Dahlman, and you can find it on Amazon. We're talking about the Ouija board this evening and discussing the messages and things that come through. One of our listeners popped up on Facebook. Joe C. wants to know, have you ever had animals communicate through you or through the Ouija board with you, and were they living or dead animals?
They were both. I spoke to dead animals before, and I spoke to animals that are alive. And what's very interesting, when you speak to a consciousness that doesn't communicate like we do in terms of our verbal words and spelling, you have other guides that come through that actually help them speak, such as the fetus I spoke to before. And also when you speak to the animals is a good example. They will bring another guide in. Usually it's an intermediary, like an angel or some kind of spirit, not a ghost, not a human being that died, but something else that comes through to help the animals communicate. And if you'd like, I'd share a little bit about that if you want to hear anything.
Well, I'm curious, with people that have animals with pet problems, are you able to communicate with them and then send a message to the animal in a way that they would understand they're human and maybe either knock off the bad actions or explain to the human why the animal's doing what they're doing so that the human can adjust as well?
Yes, I've had that experience. Yes and no. It depends what that animal wants to share, and again, how well they can communicate it with their helper. You know, it's not psychic work I'm doing with the animals, But I will say this. I spoke to quite a few animals that have been dead, and I do get a lot of questions about that, emails, and about this exact same topic. So it's a great question that the caller has. I mean, the listener has. I spoke. I'll give you an example of my own cats. I had two sets of cats quite a long time ago. They both died, and since then I have another new set of two cats. And these new cats were a rescue cats, and I got them when they were older. They have little different personalities and a little harder at times. So one of my old cats came through and said to me, you know, that black cat you have, you know, he's kind of different. He said, but just make sure you leave space for me on the bed, which I think is great humor because that's all the cats want. They want to make sure they can all get in the bed still and just be with me when I sleep. And I actually have seen and felt and footprints to my bed of the other cats, the ones that passed on. And they did tell me that these cats that are alive do see them as well, and they know they're there.
All right, let's take a quick call, then I want to hear a little bit. We'll probably have to go to break, and then I want to hear about your alien experience because, again, that's something that intrigues me. We've got Liz online. Liz, where are you calling us from tonight?
Minneapolis.
I'm familiar with that place. I think I've been there a few times. Liz, welcome to the show. What was your story or question that you had?
Well, I was listening to Karen, and I know like she has a lot of knowledge and everything, and I was just wondering if people like her and herself, if they could somehow use this psychic powers and knowledge to prevent these mass murders and the terrible, violent murders that are occurring. Like in St. Paul, there was three people killed in a suicide, and Trevino, that lady, they can't find her body, and she was murdered.
Yeah, why aren't the Ouija boards or the spirits and angels using people like you that are making the connections to try to point out those moments and help instead of just, you know, giving short little messages of, you know, love and light from the other side?
Well, I haven't gone to that level with it. I'm not doing psychic work here. You might call it psychic work. It's work that's coming through intuitively, but it's also coming through the board. I could definitely do some experiments in that. To be able to stop, you know, somebody else from killing somebody, you know, they have their own free will too. That's what you're dealing with though, with this kind of, any kind of even psychic work. Now, maybe to find somebody that's missing, that might be a possibility. I haven't gone to that level. I haven't worked, you know, in that avenue of using the Ouija that way.
But utilizing, and thank you for calling in, Liz, but utilizing and saying that the people have their own free will, the killer has a free will. Well, I have the free will that I don't want to die today, and I certainly don't want to die by gunshot. So I would think that, you know, you may not be able to control Stan from coming in and shooting me up in the studio, but you may be able to point somebody in the direction of saying, I think you really need to seriously look at Newtown Middle School this week because this message came through for me. And maybe this week one extra cop stops by and maybe that deflects Stan from going in. And, you know, it could just be something that simple. But it does seem that these angels in spirits or entities are out there and want to share and want to enlighten us. Why aren't they doing it in a more profound way where they're helping massive deals? I mean, if you came forward, Karen, and were able to say, you know what, I got a message from the other side, and Medina Middle School in Medina, Illinois is going to have a bomb go off tomorrow, and, you know, I see it around this time, and it will be a bomb that's placed behind the dumpster, or, you know, not see it, but this was the message that was given to me from the other side, and tomorrow they went behind that dumpster and found a bomb, and they were able to defuse that. I mean, that would lock in and make people feel much more comfortable worldwide that this ability is real and that spirits are out there trying to communicate and give us help. We just have to figure out a way to open ourselves up for the messages that they have to share with us.
Yeah. And you know what? The angels are out there helping. They're helping all the time. And that's why you hear of people that were supposed to be maybe in the Twin Towers and went down, but for some reason their car wouldn't start. They couldn't get to work, or their child was sick. They stayed home. But that is divine intervention. And there are the angels are out there always helping, and they are trying to, you know, work against all this unnecessary evil. I really hate that word, but that's what it is, horrific crimes and events that are happening in our world. They are out there. Now, to be able to do that on board, I don't know. I mean, it's something, again, I can add to my list of ideas and experiments to try. You must understand that when I do the Ouija, it's very much of a private thing. It's not something I've been talking about all these years until most recently. Most people that know me do not know that I even use a Ouija board except for my really close closest friends and family. And I felt like it was time to come out and start sharing this with people because of the book I wrote. I think I have a responsibility now about some of these concepts, and also just to help people widen their horizons. As I'm working with the board, I too am still learning, and I too am still evolving and growing with it. So everything you guys bring up, the callers and Dave and other people I talked to about this, I'm writing this stuff down, and I am working right now on an experiment with one of my partners I do Ouija with really well, and we're working to get some of these answers and find out if there's things we can do to help. Because believe me, I would love for this to be a tool that would help a lot of people, not just, you know, maybe personally, but also maybe more, a little more globally, and also in our communities.
Let's,
we need help.
Let's grab one more call here, and then we're going to go to break. Matt, where are you calling us from this evening?
South Metro.
All right, Ann, what's your question or comment?
My comment is this. It's a quick story. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, it was New Year's Eve. We lived in a neighborhood called the Ring Road, and we were conducting a Ouija board experiment with the kids that were left behind from the parents that went out for New Year's Eve. In this community, everybody could walk to the homes and enjoy adult celebrations. Well, we were doing the Ouija board in the house, candles lit, fireplace going, and everyone's pointing fingers saying, you're pushing the board. No, you're pushing the board. So we decided, hey, let's write down our questions, and the person who writes the question down puts the answer on the piece of paper under the board, and the other people see what the board does. First question was the young boy in the house, Danny, where's Danny? And it said upstairs, stomach, and it spelled it phonetically, and we went upstairs to Danny's room, and he was sleeping on his stomach. So now we're a little freaked out. The next question was by Laura, and Laura asked the question, and we had no idea the question. Who died in my house? And Laura had moved out of the neighborhood to Bloomington, and the answer to the question was Ben, who died from a respiratory illness before they moved into the house in the late 60s. And Laura went pale white. Then I asked the question, what is my grandfather's middle initial? And it went right to H and stopped, and it was. Now I was panicking. The power went out in the house. Everything was black. We freaked out, went upstairs into the kitchen, looked across the tennis courts to my home. The power was still on in the home I resided in, on the same power grid. As we're looking out the window, the house is black, minus the candles and the fire. The folks came home. The power went back on. We were noticeably upset, and we said to Sandy, the mother, hey, this is what we were doing. She absolutely panicked and said, do not mess with the powers of darkness, the Ouija board, and went on to tell us the story how she woke from a dead sleep in Lincoln, Nebraska, knowing her sister was killed in an accident, and went into her folks' room and said, Sissy's dead, Sissy's dead. And they're like, no, she's on a date. 20 minutes later, the state police came over and said, your daughter was killed or your sister was killed. And she said, never touch these things. Do not open up the doorway to evil. And I have not touched a Ouija board since that date. I've been in law enforcement for 20 years. I've seen unexplainable things. And that is one thing I will not mess with, is the powers of darkness.
All right. Well, thank you for chiming in on that, Matt. I appreciate it. When you have people that are that vehement, I mean, does it make you sad realizing that that's one aspect of it, and it's such a small, limited aspect? I mean, he was hearing other great information and some things that were validating it, and all it takes is one person to say this is a way of darkness, and then that person is shut off from that. Or do you think that maybe that's just part of their journey in this life?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think it is part of their journey in this life, but it's also it can be either. Any tool you use with on the other side could be either. It can be used in a different way, a different light. It can be used in a darker way. You can get both the negative things coming out, as Matt just described. He got the information that actually corroborated what they were asking, and they actually hid their questions, so nobody knew what they're even asking. That's a great experiment, by the way. I worked on that as well. I've had that happen quite a few times. And then they get the one message that kind of ruins it all. And I shouldn't say ruins it all, just maybe put it in perspective. You don't always get positive things. You don't always get negative things. And so I see it shades of gray. You can get both. And I really, ask that we work with our intentions when we use the board to increase the ability to get more positive things and to help, as this one the caller lizard said about the helping the communities. Well, there's a way we can use these tools for the betterment.
We're going to take our break. We'll come back. We'll hear her alien communication story and a scary ghost story from Karen Dahlman when we return. This is Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the show. This is Darkness Radio, and I'm Dave Schrader. Our guest this evening, Karen Dahlman. You can find her book, The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion, through Amazon.com. We'll put a link up for it on our Twitter page so you can follow as well. Karen, let's talk. You've communicated with what you believe to be an alien entity. How many times has that happened, and what led you to believe that they were alien? And by alien, do you mean from another planet, another dimension? What are you getting from that?
Well, this is what I gleaned from a few different communications on this level, on this topic. I specifically asked some topics about aliens, and when I said aliens, I meant like extraterrestrials,
right,
that kind of thing. And what I got back was that there's this collective consciousness of energies, and they were talking about the Pleiadians and talking about some other planets, and saying there's this collective consciousness of energies, of entities, and I go back to the word entity again, because they didn't use the word alien, and it's like the soul consciousness of them collectively coming through their vibrations down to our area to interfere, to interact, all the both of the above, interact, interfere, to do experiments. And who knows, you know, I'm having a hard time with that one, but the messages come through quite clear. Now, an interesting piece that also came through, and I was just going through some of my notes. This is from like the year 95. I had some notes about this, and they were talking about how one entity in particular, an alien, supposedly extraterrestrial, let me use that word instead, was lost. And it was like it was lost, it was dead. And so this whole thing of being lost, like the humans are when they die,
okay,
it was lost and couldn't find its way back to where we're supposed to go. And that was kind of trippy for me, and I called some other spirits in to help it. But it communicated in just a very interesting way about being lost. And I don't know why it was lost, but they concurred that it was part of this soul consciousness, and they were going to help it go back to it. So it's a whole new arena to be exploring a little further.
Is that something that you do you have more of a trouble wrapping your head around, that you're actually communicating with an alien?
I do.
Yeah, I mean, do you ever think, come on, this is...
I do. I say, okay, come on. Yeah, that's exactly what I say. And then I'm reminded by somebody else inside, well, this is if it helps you, they'll use the word consciousness, they'll use the word entity. Because I'm like, okay, I haven't really gone far enough for that, although I think I'd be ignorant to say that there's nothing else out there beyond us and our galaxies. There's life elsewhere, right? And what that life exactly is, you know, I'm not clear on it. And I think, too, my own walls to that could also block my ability to communicate further with it. And that's kind of where I am with it right now, although this consciousness group, collective consciousness, as they call themselves, came through from the Pleiades. It's interesting.
All right. Well, let's talk. We've only got about 5-6 minutes left together. You said you had a scary ghost story encounter. I'd like to hear this as well.
Okay, sure. Now, this is scary because it creeped me out because this ghost had been watching me. This is the weird part, okay? So this is one of the times my brother came up to visit me, and when he comes, because he can do the board so well with me, he just lets go. I say, let's check in. So he came out, and this happened also in California. I have it actually here, verbatim, in my book. Okay, so basically I kept getting this thing spelled out. It just said, MCKEACHRUN, Tom, Mick, and it said, each run, Tom. And I thought, well, maybe it's talking about running. I don't know. Tell me more. And then he finally said, Tom in the water, he died. He said, Jane knew me, and she's out there looking at me or looking for me. And then he says, I see you on the beach when you run in the morning. And I'm like, oh, my God, because I'd go down and run on the beach at 5:30 in the morning. And I'm thinking, now I'm kind of creeped out thinking, I don't know if I can go down to the beach and run, knowing there might be some kind of entity there seeing me. So I asked more, and it said, he says, remember me, if you look by the showers, you're going to see me. And I thought, oh, my God, I am not going down to the beach by myself. I'm not going down at 5:30 in the morning when it's dark. And that creeped me out enough for me to avoid going to the beach at that time in the morning for quite some time. That was a little creepy. But this is the weird part of the story now. That wasn't weird enough.
That wasn't the weird part? Okay.
No, this gets weirder. So I'm like, okay, so at this point I'm kind of done talking to spirits and ghosts. However, I go down to the beach, and this is there to this day, and it was something new that was erected. It's a bench, and since then they've erected about 5 benches in concrete, and on them they have people's names who have passed. So people gather money in my community, and they get these benches. And this one said on it, Tom Ketron, One with the Sea. And I went, holy heck.
Right.
Are you kidding me? There, and he said, my name is there. I am there. And that is right where the showers and the eating area is. And I went, oh, my God. And he said, come sit on me. And I'm like, what's he talking about? When I went down there and saw this bench, I was shocked. That's one of the stories that you can actually go, wow, that came to me in the weekend. And then also here's the bench, and I've never seen that bench before.
Wow, that's amazing. And now, you realize, though, that there are spirits around us everywhere, according to the mediums and psychics, and they're probably watching you anyway, Karen, just because you now have that conveyance of the message from down by the beach. Does that make you feel any less watched anywhere else? I mean, if it was able to communicate with you through your Ouija board at home, how do you know he wasn't watching you at the showers at home like he was at the beach?
Well, this is what he said. He says, I see you around the beach. If he said, I see you in your house, that's a little creepy. I think I'd do a whole staging ceremony.
Right.
And put the boards away. I must say, though, what I was told from one of my spirit guides that came in a long time ago said, I have been around you for some time and have seen you. That part didn't creep me out because it was always like these messages of just trying to help me get clarity and understanding in my life or direction and stuff of that nature. But it never said, oh, I watch you. But the fact that this guy was watching me, or the spirit ghost was watching me run on the beach, was creepy. Now, I'm not afraid if I'm in my house by myself or I'm in my own environment, but when I'm out on the beach, you know, at 5:30, the sun's not even up yet and it's dark, you don't know what you're going to run into. That's probably not the safest place to be anyway. So that is what is enough to scare me and creep me out, that piece of it. If he was said, I saw you in your house, that wouldn't creep me out as much. But if you saw me in the shower at my house, that'd be really creepy. I don't think I can handle that.
I'll tell you what, one thing I'd like you to do when you're doing your experiments with your Ouija board, and I'm giving the permission now over air, is I give you permission to try to contact my higher self without telling me when or how you're going to do it.
Okay.
Because I would be interested to see if I get any, and I'll be very open and honest with you. I will keep a little journal if I feel my spidey sense going off in any way, shape, or form, and any kind of communication or anything like that. I'll let you know when, how, and where it was experienced, and perhaps you can do the same in a journal form and without talking about it beforehand. Maybe we could do a reveal on a show in the upcoming future and see if making that connection.
That.
Now, the only issue I would guess is, you know, I'm still of the mind, I'm not quite sure that I'm open, that I'm open to my higher consciousness. I'm sure there's still always that conduit, but much like plaque building up in your valves and in your arteries for, your heart, and sometimes it staves it off, or such little trickle goes through because you're not maintaining that and keeping it healthy without having that direct vibrational contact and opening those things up or knowing how. My concern is that it'll be plugged up. I know we've got less than a minute left here, but I mean, is there a way to roto-rooter out those clearings and start to make that opening happen more often?
Yes, there are, actually. And just like you right now giving permission, and especially giving permission live with all your listening audience, I mean, you're really dedicating yourself to this. And so I do want to say this to everybody and say this to you too, Dave. Anything that you do not want revealed will never come out because yourself knows that. So only things that can come out are things that you're ready and open to share.
You're in trouble then, Karen. You're in trouble then, Karen, because I'm an open book. My higher consciousness will let you know all. You may be wanting to protect yourself before tapping into my vibrational pole. Karen Dahlman, thank you for joining us again this evening. The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. You can find that information. You can also go to Facebook and find her there, KarenDahlman, Karen Dahlman. Thank you all for tuning in. Keep Timmy D in your thoughts and prayers as his leg continues to bother him. Hopefully he'll be back with us in the next day or two. Thank you for tuning in to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This is the Twin Cities News Talk station, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, and TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.